We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, special edition preview Western Conference Finals. Light Years meets Mavs Moneyball. It's like that episode of that Marvel movie I didn't watch where you made a bunch of grandiose analogies about that. Anyway, with that said, I got Kirk across from me. Kirk, we're less than 24 hours away from the Warriors and the Mavericks in the Western Conference Finals. Did you know this is the 15-year anniversary of We Believe?
I did. And that was a dark point in my life. And I'm really happy we can revisit it.
Nice. I do think it's hilarious. I've been casually watching that be brought up. And I'm like, I don't know if Warrior fans want to bring that up because, like, we're not the underdog. You know, like, you don't get to play that card right now. But anyway, I feel like actually that's actually a great analogy for this. The Warriors, whatever you think of how good they are, they have been the most dominant team in the NBA the last decade. They represent the quote-unquote power right now. And the Mavericks, while they've been a historically good team over my lifetime, they've been there, you know, in the playoffs over and over again. This is kind of like the coming out party for Luka Doncic, right? Like, it's kind of a role reversal for these two teams, right?
It was funny. I was talking with our mutual buddy Anthony Irwin today of Silver Screen and Roll, and he's like, what's it like to be on a team that everybody's rooting for? And I said, I'm not really sure that people are rooting for the Mavericks, but I'm really sure that lots of casual, like, nonpartisan NBA fans really hate the Jazz. I really wasn't aware until I was in the Phoenix Suns series of how many people and teams hate the Suns. Like, it was real secretly, like, just nasty. And then, you know, because the Warriors have been so good for so long, there's, like, that element of, you know, just sort of – like, I hate the Chicago Bulls in 1997 kind of stuff.
Right.
It's, you know? So it's like, yeah, it's weird.
Absolutely. By the way, speaking of reasons to hate the Warriors, look who's come
on. Wow, what a flex with that photo, Andy. Good gracious.
Sir, how are you doing? I was just listening to you guys jumping on a little late. Just, you know, add some color. Sounds like it's all happy and roses, right? In Dallas, you guys don't care if you win or lose, right?
Well, I'm not in a terrible spot, but I did the thing where I listened to some of the I read tweets instead of listening to the audio, and I think it was Anthony Slater who had some like pull quote from Jason Kidd about Steve Kerr. And he didn't post the full quote where he was like, oh yeah, Steve Kerr, he played with Michael Jordan, not like referencing anything else that Steve Kerr had done. Only Kidd had given like this really lengthy answer about how much he like appreciates Kerr. And I was like, oh no, we're already at that point. The series hasn't started yet. And these teams are really salty.
There will be no manufactured drama. This is not, it seems like the Dallas, it seems like they respect each other and the players. like each other. This will not be the Dylan Brooks shit show that we had to sit through. John Moran and Taylor Jenkins. God.
But I do disagree with my friend Andy here because and I'm trying to decide who's gonna be the first one to piss the other team off. Is it gonna be Draymond or is it gonna be Lucas?
Well, I mean, because I'm excited for how many podcast episodes Draymond Green is going to get explaining why Luka Doncic embarrassed him. Like, that's really fundamentally very exciting for me because like Draymond's like really, really good at explaining things that maybe shouldn't have happened.
I also think the other part of this too. I also think it's Sam and I. You know, Sam and I. We've done this for a while. I think I'm stressed, right? For me, it's like, oh, the Warriors are favored. You know, technically they should win this series. I miss it, Kirk. I miss when it was, you know, 6 years ago when it was, you know, the Warriors. They're the up and coming team. I miss those days, man. It feels great to root for a team like that. Nowadays, it's like, oh. Warriors lose game one, and now it's you know.
Do we need to reconsider what we thought about Steph Curry all along?
it's a whole thing. It's different, man.
Well, it's funny because I actually had a podcast with Ben Collins today. He of the NBC Dystopia beat, and he was a former, I don't know if anybody knows this, but Ben Collins used to be a child reporter for the Dallas Mavericks. Like, we're talking like 12 years old asking Dirk Nowitzki questions. Like, there's some incredible stuff if you look up his name in Dallas Mavericks. And he and I talked about just that because I'm like, this is the last time there's really no expectations because like the lunatics on Twitter, and look, we love you lunatics, like you guys like pay the bills, but this is the last time before things really go up. And what's funny is that this might be the last best Dallas Mavericks chance to do something in a playoff setting. Because
what?
This year, because like next year things get harder. Like there's like a path for the Mavericks. And like next year, the Clippers are going to be better just because.
Yeah, Luka's 17 years old though.
Yeah, but have you seen this?
Are you talking about do something in the context of no expectations?
No, like no expectations. Like next year, the Mavericks make the second round, things are going to get ugly, and at least amongst like the faithful, because that's what you guys have dealt with since 20, probably 18, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Okay, so I get what you're saying. This is the house money year for the Mavericks. Like you get to whether they beat the Warriors or they don't, you're playing with house money because next year, this is the expectation. The expectation is Western Conference Finals. We have one of the, you know, half dozen best players in the league and one of the only, you know, the half dozen guys who are actually good enough to be the best player in a title team and nothing short of.
Yeah, West Finals. I hear you.
Nothing short of contending matters anymore after this. Like, yeah. I know what you mean. Like Andy and I, like, at this point with Steph Curry, there's no like we won 50 games and won a first round series, and that's like the only thing that matters in Warriors context now is like literally getting to the finals because of the standard they've set for themselves. Yeah. And I'm not saying that that's like a woe be gone type of thing, but it's just kind of like there is the innocence of the rise is kind of nice.
It's only one time. You only get it one time.
That is what I mean, because it's just like my stated sort of podcast preseason prediction was please get to the second round. And then they got to the second round and then they went down 0-2. And I agree. And sorry if you keep hearing noise in the background, I agreed to get a puppy because I thought the Mavericks were done. And then the Mavericks won 4 out of 5 and we're talking and I have a puppy. And I still have to keep doing Mavericks work while this 10-pound tiny shark is running around my house. And it's just, you know, and granted, I'm delighted because it's exactly what Sam said. House money is a great descriptor, and it's very, you know, because one of the things I can't get past, and I think we're gonna get into some specifics, but Dwight Powell is a Western Conference starting center. Dwight Powell, January 2020, tore his Achilles tendon.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, as recently as a year ago, Mavericks fans were hoping to eject him directly into space because he was so awful. So, I mean, there's some weirdness going on. I'm having a good time.
I'll tell you what, though. Dwight Powell might not be long for this series. But yes, I get your point.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I was going to say, let's get into the hoop stuff right now.
Yeah, let's get into it. Yeah.
Let's get into it. So let's start with this. So, Kirk, everyone on Earth is like, who's going to guard Luka? Who's going to guard Luka? I've never heard anyone ever ask who's going to guard Steph. Like, is Andy brought this up. Actually, I'm going to give it to Andy here. But it's like, isn't it the funniest thing on Earth? Everyone's always like, who's going to guard that guy? And it's like, no one ever brings up the fact that who's going to guard Steph. So who on the Mavericks is actually going to guard Steph Curry here?
I would guess Dorian Finney-Smith, because it's kind of the question of who do you not mind having their legs run ragged? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it can't be Jalen Brunson. He's too important to the offense. It might be Reggie Bullock. But him and – if you go look at those two's playoff minutes, they're averaging like plus 40 through two series.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the Mavericks basically go 6.5 guys deep plus Davis Bertans, who Steve Jones –
my guy.
Steve Jones and Nekias Duncan lovingly refer to him as Dave Burt. And
he really is the guy right down the hall from the cubicle.
God. I mean, I have this video. I have this picture of him I keep retweeting where he is essentially like looking like a male Karen demanding where he's just like pointing and he gets real minutes for this team. I mean, I am having a great time with this series, like with this playoff run, but I also cannot believe elements of the fact that they've gotten here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think that's my big question coming in here today was to understand, Kirk, how the Dallas defense works. Because the Dallas defense is very good and has been very good since Porzingis got traded. Really one of the best defenses in the NBA. And then they completely locked up Phoenix the last couple games. Now, some of that I think is just Phoenix is soft. They choked. Chris Paul's a clown. Like some of that stuff, right? But some of it's also like Dallas is legitimate on defense. But on the other side, I think as a Warriors fan, I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, the Warriors also turned the ball over 25 times against Memphis. Memphis had a very good defense. I'm not sure that Dallas is as good defensively, but that's not to say that Dallas doesn't have great defensive players. Like you're saying, DFS and Bullock and even Kleba's pretty darn good.
Ooh, this is interesting. And number one, I think some of our listeners are probably confused as to why we don't hate each other yet. And like hating and mocking.
It's gonna come by game three.
Yeah, but hating and mocking Phoenix is currently an NBA kumbaya moment. It's really something. So when Jason Kidd was signed, I was very pissy because Jason Kidd, and you know, this goes against the common narrative, but like the internet exists. Jason Kidd was a bad coach at two places.
Yes, thank you.
Like yes. He was a bad coach. And he was out of the NBA for a year.
Great point guard, though.
He got brought – I mean, unbelievable point guard. But he got brought back into the NBA because Jeannie Buss kind of made him a Lakers coach. Like, that's why. And he seemed to have learned a lot, and he was on his best behavior and was very much – he went from being kind of a sociopath to being a collaborative guy. And he, with the coaching staff that he brought to Dallas – took the same group of guys that Rick Carlisle had, subbing out Josh Richardson for Reggie Bullock, and turned the Mavericks, even with Porzingis, so before
the trade, turn them into a top five defense. And the real reason I think this all works together is because these players have played together. The Mavericks have had the same roster since the trade deadline in 2019, pre-COVID, give or take a shooting guard. And they've just managed to make it work based off of kind of continuity and really heavy blitz and recover. And it worked against the Warriors in the preseason. We probably should talk about it a little bit. But the reason it worked against the Warriors in the preseason and why I kind of want to throw this data out the window is Draymond Green didn't play three games. You can blitz Steph Curry into oblivion when there's no really successful outlet for him to throw it to. But Draymond Green, as much as Mavs fans might not want to hear this, part of the reason he's he's going to be a Hall of Famer is not only because he's a great defensive player, but because he is an unbelievable outlet. Like, getting the outlet out of that double team, he makes the right choice a lot, right?
Every time. Yep, every time. Yep.
So I don't think you can do that this series. So your question was, who guards Steph Curry? And I think they're going to try a lot of different people and hope that nobody gets truly exhausted.
Six and a half rotation. Sam mentioned that on the pod. He noticed that and brought it up. He mentioned seven. I almost couldn't believe it that you guys are running six.
Yeah,
and
it's
half.
It's a lot that's of tough. Like throwing Frank Ntilikina out there and like hoping you can get 5 minutes out of him.
Well,
type of situations.
Easter Island lookalike Josh Green has been sent into the void because he is a bad basketball player.
Oh,
who is a really
first off, Easter Island is Clay's thing. So.
This man's chin is remarkable. Cut out of great, like just unbelievable jawline. And I mean this in a respectful way, but he just doesn't know what to do. He gets put.
By the way, I guarantee you Steve Kerr is telling the team right now. Kirk, I can see the Warriors losing tomorrow. And the more I think about it, the more I can see the Warriors losing tomorrow. And then they just won't care. They'll just be like, yeah, we'll just win games 3, 4, 5, 6 when it comes down to it. Because Dallas is like, I can see not that I think that's the right strategy. I don't know what the right strategy is. I'm just a podcast guy. But like, I can see the Warriors losing the first game and just be completely okay.
I want to piggyback that one. The minute I heard Steve Kerr say they remind me of the Houston Rockets, I know exactly his mind is they can be worn down by just running our offense seven games in a row. They're going to try to overplay every action and over attack everything by picking on people over and over again. And we're going to wear them down by not doing that. Like, that's right or wrong. I've watched a lot of Warriors basketball under Steve Kerr. That is philosophically like, and hey man, he's had enough success to like, he might have got me like to the edge of the bridge where I don't want to jump off, but like it's worked to a certain degree, you know?
Well, you know, the fear now though is that worked when Steph was 28, right? That worked when now Steph's 34, Draymond and Clay are both, you know, Clay's coming off a couple injuries.
Hey, 34's not old.
You know, playing the way that they have to play. I just think that it's pretty funny that they're the team that thinks that they can outlast the other team when they're the old team. I mean, they're by far the oldest team left in terms of, you know, the kind of the core guys in the postseason.
Yeah. Every team left is like the young next guys up, and the Warriors are out here going like, we're going to outlast you.
Well, so this actually begs a question, because you asked who guards Luka. Who guards Steph? So who guards Luka? Because I inadvertently murdered poor Jim Parks of Sheridan Hoops blog, who talked about playoff Wiggins. Like, that's a fucking thing. Get out of here, Jim.
Oh, man.
Like, hey. Local man has played 16 playoff games. Don't want to hear it.
Look.
Okay.
Let's go, Sam.
I'll take the first answer. I mean, you and I both know the recipe for guarding Luka.
Like what? Feed him chicken nuggets? What are we talking about?
Cigarettes, vodka.
You want guys who make him work and don't foul him and turn him into jump shooters. Like you're gonna live with the fact if he hits a bunch of jump shots, but like you're trying to avoid fouling him and laying me into the lane. And for the Warriors, that means having like a shell defense. Like, you probably play Looney more than you want to play him. You have Draymond, you have Wiggins, you have, I mean, hopefully he's alive in this series, Iguodala, like guard him. But like, that's what it is. Like, Luka's, there's no like secret recipe to guarding him. You just kind of have to like hopefully force him into being a jump shooter and live with the result. Hopefully it's not one of those nights where he hits like 18 step backs in a row.
Well, that my secret take is that Kevon Looney might be the best guy to guard him, because if you watched any of the Suns Mavs series, DeAndre Ayton, who is currently probably like living in a state of hell, actually guarded Luka. That man guarded Luka really, really well. And Luka could not hit three point shots over him because the man is David Robinson reincarnate in terms of size and wingspan. And Looney, you know, I guess I always forget that Looney is 6'9", because he's kind of like one of those matrix, like he's a better version of Powell in the sense of like his arms just expand. It's the same thing with the offensive rebound. So it's like kind of the question is like, if he gets those sort of switches, does he bait Luka into like five step back threes that are shitty possessions? And then past that, I went through like, y'all have a tall, like, no, like, not like super like tall roster, but there's 12 guys between 6'4 and 6'9, according to Basketball Reference. And that's a lot of length. And I think like a lot of people are like, oh, well, Draymond's going to match up on him. Like, to me in the Mavs world, I'm like, guys, that's not what Draymond does. And that's a bad use of him. Like, he's Luka will put him in the blender. Number two, it's not really what you want to do. So it's like, I just think you're going to see a steady diet of probably by halftime. I bet 6 or 7 guys are going to have guarded him.
Oh, I mean, Looney's the guy. I mean, when Kerr talked about the reference to Houston, Looney was the guy that was guarding Harden. Looney did a pretty damn good job of guarding Harden. Now, Looney can't guard guys like Kawhi. You don't want to put him on like a Jason Tatum if this happens to be the NBA Finals matchup, right? But Luka's that guy. Now, you know, Ayton's a lot bigger. He's a lot quicker, so it's different. But Looney doesn't jump. He's long. Draymond's going to guard Luka in crunch time. Like, that's just what it's going to be. That's what's going to happen. It's like the same that they did with Jokic. Jaren Jackson, right? He's just going to guard him in crunch time. I actually think he'll be fine in a spurt of 5 minutes. But if you're putting Draymond on Luka to start, he's going to foul out in 10 minutes, right? So Wiggins. Well,
and that's the whole thing. You need both of them, because like if Draymond's guarding Luka, he can't be playing free safety, right?
And the free safety is where you need him, because Luka's ability to find the open shooter with like absolute bullshit, curving passes, over the head nonsense, like 35 foot away, one-handed lookaways. He is that good at that stuff. He's not better than LeBron, but he's not worse.
They cannot. I assure you that the Warriors care more about the open three-point shooters than Luka going for 40, because I think Luka's going to go for 40 every game. I don't think they care that much. Cannot. Dorian Finney-Smith cannot make 7 threes. Bullock cannot shoot 45% from three this series.
If Luka's going to hit 50 on setbacks, like, you know,
you lose.
Like,
fine, go home, whatever.
The quote unquote hat tip. But yeah, like, you don't want to lose the series because Dorian Finney-Smith went 8 for 12 from three and had 27 points. Like, that's been the Warriors' philosophy in these things the whole way through. And I don't see any reason for it to change. Maybe it should, but like,
I don't think they should. I think it's like, the right game plan, Sam. I think it is.
I think they need to lose games playing that way for them to like consider guarding him differently.
You know, I think Ja was going for 40 points a game, and the Warriors were up 2-1.
By the way, can we throw one thing out there? I want to make this clear. They're not guarding Luka how they guarded Ja. The way they guarded Ja was so disrespectful. It was literally you know how to play basketball.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's like, good. It's like you are like, they're going to guard Luka the way they guard Harden or LeBron, where it's like, we're going to give you the jumper, but we're not going to like fall 15 feet off of you. But like, we don't think you can shoot.
It's the same idea of still not doubling. Like, the Warriors, the Mavs are going to blitz Steph. Right, like I could see Steph just being doubled all game. He's gonna figure that out. The Warriors are not gonna do that to Luka. Like, I don't see Draymond coming on the backside and trying to get a steal on Luka. No. Luka's just like Kirk just said, he's throwing it to the corner and Bullock's cashing a three. It's just that's what's gonna happen. And
and I think Kerr would rather lose.
I had a number of your very delightful fans speaking.
They are the best.
The past 2 days.
They are the best.
Just the best. And there's got to be
a, don't make an, more enemies.
Well, there's got to be an understanding and intentionality between Luka and Harden. Harden wants to make the look good play. I'm sorry. We have evidence of this. If this, I'm sure this whole group is fine with some James Harden slander, but you got to understand slander isn't true. I'm speaking facts here. James Harden is a clown fraud. Okay. If he wasn't a clown fraud, he would probably have a better resume, but he is a clown fraud. Luka Doncic wants to make the right basketball play, which is why he continually passes, even at times where we as Mavs fans scream into the void that we want him to take, like, the open eight-footer. And he's going to continually do this over the course of the series. So I think that these interesting James Harden comparisons, because of the sort of heliocentric ball that the Mavericks play fairly frequently, I understand why it's an easy go-to. It is a bad comparison, and it will result. It's just going to result in people being pissed off because they're like, "Oh, well, I thought he was more like this," and it's like, "Well, if you thought that, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about."
Well, it's because like heliocentric basketball invokes two names, LeBron and Harden. And no one wants to compare someone to LeBron.
Hey, Tyson, because, like, I'm not lying into the mic. I watch basketball. Shut your mouth. I'm just kidding.
Oh, it's but it's true. I mean, he is significantly. Here's actually, I'm going to bring this up right now, which is my issue with Harden has always been I feel like he uses the way he plays as an excuse to not read the game. You know what I mean? Like, well, I took the shot that they told me to take. Whereas like LeBron or Luka, it is kind of an instinctual play. Whether it's the right instinctual play or the wrong instinctual play, you know, history will let you know. But like they do play basketball with like kind of more of an earnest attitude towards those plays.
I do think though that version, they're different. I'm with you. I do think that version of James Harden that they played in Houston, that guy was, I mean, as much as we want to make fun of him, and God knows I do all day, he was good. Like, he was good. And they pushed that Warriors championship team to 6 and 7 games. So, and the Warriors are not as good.
I mean, 27 missed threes is really impressive. Like,
the Warriors probably shouldn't have even been in that situation. Sam and I were just tearing our hair out just because we feel like they shouldn't even have been a game 7, but I mean, that was the greatest team of all time. And
that's true. That's fair. Yeah. But, I don't know. I go both ways with this because I just think it's an easy criticism that kind of misunderstands that the Mavericks have made it this far not because of Luka. That's the difference. They've made it this far because of everyone else, while Luka is the closer and the X factor. I mean, they won a pair of games without him to start the playoffs. It doesn't mean I don't think he's not the most important player, but it just sort of belies the fact that this team has a bunch of guys that were, you know, Reggie Bullock, former Clipper, you know, former Knick. It's guys that are not who you would think, and it's really – that's what was so funny reading all the Suns stuff is that the Maverick, like they were, the Suns had a higher pedigree and the Mavericks beat them. And that really upset Suns fans. And
I mean, okay, I get where you're going with
that. They had the best player too. I mean, let game 7 elimination game, James Harden doesn't do that. So let's be very fucking clear. James Harden is not doing what Luka's doing in that elimination game on the road, right?
Yeah. I know I'm mad at him, but I don't mind.
James Harden's never had a game 6 or 7 that resembles what Luka just did, but let's
for even a quarter.
I want to ask this one because I think this is interesting. So Kirk brings up the point that they won games without Luka, which is objectively true. So who are the X factors in this series? Like outside of Luka and Steph Curry, like you're a Dallas Mavericks guy. Who is the player who you need to show up, who's going to show the
series? It's a lazy take, but it's got to be Jalen Brunson. Until the second half of Game 7, Jalen Brunson was 3 of 18 from three, and he's a good board and on catch and shoot, he's actually great, like 40% in regular season. And he has these games where he does, I'm trying to think, this is not a fair comparison. You know the Joel Embiid thing where he does the pump fake no one drive into traffic thing? Jalen yes. Brunson does that at 6'1", and it drives me crazy. And he's such an effective kind of bully ball player because, and he said this either to JJ Redick or someone, he was essentially a power forward in high school, and you can see it in his footwork where he does like all sorts of, you know, just extra steps and things where the Mavericks need him to not only be willing, but also be effective. And in games where the Mavericks struggled in Phoenix, he was a no show. It was kind of Luka and nobody else. And he's really important to the team. He's going to get paid $1 billion this summer, and I'm okay with that. Everyone else, a lot of their shots are manufactured by Luka. Dinwiddie is a ghost who I just sort of hope to show up.
Oh, he did for one game.
But, yeah, I mean, this is a stupidly specific stat, but in games 1 through 5 against Utah and 1 through 5 against Phoenix, he was 12 of 44 from threes. In game 6 against Utah and game 6 and 7 against Phoenix, he was a combined 14 of 21. And I do not trust him at the moment. That doesn't mean he can't do something, but he went from being a 74% score at the rim in the regular season with the Mavericks to up. I didn't calculate this for Phoenix, but against the Suns, he shot, or against the Jazz, he shot 47% at the rim after shooting 74. It was really terrible. So, I mean, I Brunson is my guy in the short term.
Yeah.
You can't say Clay and Draymond. I mean, the answer should be Draymond.
It's got to be Poole, right?
Everybody knows Clay. Yeah, it's Poole. I mean, it's the Warriors version of Brunson. It's Jordan Poole. So I think Brunson is what, the second best offensive player. I think in terms of an engine, what's most important for the Warriors offensively is Steph, Draymond and Clay 2 and 3, right? Just they're going to play more. But Jordan Poole might be able to stay on the floor more this series versus what he did against Memphis. Because, I mean, even before Ja got hurt, I think Poole was going to get played off. And you talk about Dinwiddie. Poole is the opposite of Dinwiddie. He plays great in the first three games, and then he no-shows the rest of the series. So that's kind of – you know, the thing is, like, can he survive against a Luka mismatch hunt? Right? Can he survive? Because if he can, I don't know if Sam agrees with this. I feel like he will. Jordan Poole might be the second-best offensive player on the team against Dallas defense.
I have questions if he can survive it. But you are correct. Mm. If he can survive it, he's
– he should be able to get to the rim. There's no Jaren Jackson. It's all dead.
If he can survive it, this is a 5-game series. I'm questioning if he can survive it.
Doesn't this come back to like Kerr's coaching like bugaboos where he goes back to the safe thing than he does the smart thing?
Well, it might be the same thing. Like game 6, it turns out the safe thing and the smart thing was the right move, right? It was starting Looney instead of starting Jordan Poole. Like I was like, I might have thrown Jordan Poole out there, but you know, this is why I don't get paid $15 million a year to be coach for the Warriors. I think
that's fascinating.
that's the one. I mean, it was the right move to start Looney. It was the safe move, right? And it worked out. And they're gonna do it again. Sam and I talk about Jordan Poole all year long. I think they're gonna probably.
If I want to unpack this, it's the Warriors are stuck with the situation of picking offense versus defense. And they're going to always – I feel like they're going to side defense when it matters. Like, any way you want to slice it, that's what it's going to come down to. They're going to go with Looney. They're going to, you know, bench Jordan Poole, and that's what it is. We got a guest we got to pull up here. This is Kirk's guy.
Gentlemen.
Friend of the show.
Jason, what's up, man?
Well, I don't feel like I've gotten an opportunity to tell you guys, but I love the Light Years pod.
Oh,
said it out loud, which I should, but I'm doing it now. So
I appreciate it, man.
You can't see me throwing hearts, but you know,
I love it. hey, you know, I wanted to come on here and give a formal announcement, something I have not done these playoffs or honestly in the last like 8 years. And that is to say, I feel really good about the Mavs going into this series. It's kind of insane. I feel insane, but I kind of do. Every time I think about these matchups, I'm just like, I don't know how Golden State stops Dallas. Help me. Bring me back to Earth.
So you're
I love this. This is, by the way,
are you suggesting a We Believe Mavericks?
No. Kirk, have you? I mean, granted, it wasn't the same rosters that played in the regular season, and that kind of goes to the Mavs side as well. But like, you said that Brunson is an X factor. I think Brunson is a constant. An X factor is variable. Okay. Brunson is a reliable, constant figure on our offense at this point. Dinwiddie is the X factor. Dinwiddie could do nothing or something. We do not count on Dinwiddie. So if you have Luka and you have Jalen, who have been pretty fucking consistent in these playoffs, I kind of am and then you have the shooters around. I'm just like, on offense, I don't know what Golden State does to defend the Mavericks. Well, you guys can call me stupid. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, I don't think they are going to defend them that well. I think this isn't the 2019 Warriors. I think if you had almost said 49ers, God, yeah. Why am I in football mode?
You sound like you're ready to be disappointed. That's
why Klay Thompson and Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, look, like, stop. It's not Jimmy G. Klay's kind of washed defensively, right? And no Iguodala, no Sean Livingston. Draymond's not the same who he used to be. The guy who's probably better on defense now is Steph Curry, which is funny. But I also think on the other side, I don't know. Like, this just might be a shootout thing where the Warriors have better players.
Correct.
Like, it's not. I don't know if Dallas, they don't have the type of defense that's super scary that has a bunch of steals and blocks like and deflections like Memphis. It might be a shootout type of vibe. And then I think in crunch time, you just might have more people that – like, it just kind of boils down to, like, they just might have more guys with Draymond and then Steph, who I think the series is underrated, where it's a lot of Luka, but it's a lot of, like, you know, Steph's not bad.
No. Certainly not. Hey, and look, Warriors fans, I can see you in the comments, okay?
This is the easiest way to get engagement. I always say it's the easiest way. So just tweet something about the Warriors.
But the whole reason why I came on here was simply because I have not felt good about a Mavericks playoff series in, I mean, years. Ask Kirk. Like
11.
Years.
It's been years. 11.
And so I'm kind of looking at this and I'm like, I feel good. I need to be taken down a notch. I'm acknowledging this.
Let it ride.
But there's something about the Mavs offense that I kind of just am like, man, I don't know, man. Phoenix has defenders too, and like they weren't able to slow this shit down. And I conventional wisdom thought, you know, Phoenix was a better defensive team. Turns out they're not.
They're fraudulent.
Turns out they might be a little fraudulent. Shout out, Knicks fans. You can't hate me for that.
Well, also, I think you guys have been Mavs fans forever. Luka's going to be better than Dirk, right? And I think like that. It's pretty cool Sam and I. Okay. Maybe I should chill a little bit. But like for us that have rooted for Steph for a long time, you know, when you got a guy
all I'm going to say is like the Warriors are going to draft someone and I'm going to be like, he's better than Steph. And you're going to be like, don't talk to me for 2 weeks.
I know. I'm just saying when you got a guy that good, I think being confident is not a bad thing is what I'm trying to say. I think I was confident for a long time being a Warriors fan. So.
I think it's going to be really competitive. I've been watching, you know, I watched my freaking boss on First Take.
Him and
all of them taking the Warriors. And I agree that the Warriors are definitely the favorites, but I like feel better about this series than I did Phoenix. And Kirk, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically everyone in Dallas wanted Golden State heading into the playoffs because of the way we matched up against them.
No,
that was true. That was true. We did not want any part of Phoenix. We wanted no part of Phoenix.
Can we back this up? The fundamental issue here is we took Chris Paul too seriously.
Mm.
And end of the day, we all need to be honest with ourselves. We let weird hipsters online convince us that the Suns were better than they were. Like, we all knew they weren't that good.
I don't know if I knew that.
That's not good.
I mean, they won 50 plus.
Sorry, I'm gonna ride into it. I'm gonna go with this. I don't even know if I believe what I'm saying, but I'm gonna go with it. You know. So.
No, I love that. Anyways, that's my contribution. I just needed you guys to take me down a notch, and for especially these comments, I appreciate all of them because now I feel like a damn
good people. I like these
no,
people.
No, no, never even the take people it down. Yelled a notch. At. Never fucking take it. This is the point of being a fan, man. If we took it down a notch, you know, it wouldn't be fandom.
No, I love Warriors fans. They give me the confidence that we will wreck this planet and have to find other places to live.
Think about it this way, Kurt, Jason. Like, if y'all win, it's just gonna be way more fun. And if y'all lose, whatever, we move on. What are you guys, Cowboys fans?
Oh, we're no.
I get to root for Patrick Mahomes and Luka Doncic. I'm in a great space. Well, whereas fuck off. You get to root for Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's true.
We're in this part of it.
I was born in Kansas City, Max. Thank you.
Okay. Dallas, to its credit, is 100% playing with house money. This is a good spot to be in for Mavericks fans, and I hope that they take this series with just like very calmly, because Mavs fans like to freak out if everything doesn't go their way, but they're in the Western Conference Finals. This is a win. Just us being here is a win. This is fun. Let's go.
This is fun. I don't hate
like, Jason.
You're the man, Jason. The fun part is where it's just like, even after the Suns series, all these people would be like, don't you hate the Suns? I'm like, no, I feel bad for them because at the end of the day, they have to come back and root for fucking Devin Booker. That sucks. You'll get to finish this series, and no matter what happens, I'll still get to root for Luka, who's 23 years old, who's Rob Gronkowski of basketball, and you'll get to root for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, who is the coolest man alive. And granted, Draymond Green is going to take all of your page views and clicks and all that sort of stuff, but you like it as it happens. I mean, this is fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice because I think Phoenix would have been a pretty – it's just a series we know about. I think right now we don't know anything about these two teams playing each other. We don't. Like, as much as we want to look at the numbers, we look at the past games, we look at how Steph and Luka are playing, like, we don't know.
We know that by game two there will be some sort of drama that's going to suck. That's what we know.
You think so?
Yes.
I mean, who's
Draymond's kicking? You think Draymond's kicking Luka's dick or something? Like, I don't know if that's going to happen this series.
I feel 100% confident Luka's going to
– Luka or Draymond will find a way to, you know,
well,
exploit – let's put it this way. Let's put it politely. Exploit a mismatch, and then you're going to – it's just going to turn into something. And I'm not even saying it's a bad thing because this is the part of the season where that shit should happen, you know? Like – what's annoying is Chris Paul going and telling him.
Yeah, we don't need that. We don't need that.
On November 23rd, that, you know, Andy didn't tuck his jersey. It's grow up, you know?
I mean, no one in this series is going to threaten a minor like Chris Paul did on video.
Relax.
There's still time. Maybe someone will. Who knows?
I can see Draymond doing it. What are we? Do we have more stuff, or do we go predictions, Samuel? Where are we?
I think we go predictions and call it a day.
I can talk forever. All right. It makes Sam uncomfortable. I'll just keep talking.
So your podcast. I'll go first because I got to get out of here, so you guys can keep going. But I'll go first. In our last podcast, I went Warriors in six. The more I think about it, and here I come. The more I think about it, the more I can't see a way that the Mavs win four games. I can see them winning game one. I can see them winning another one by 25 at home, right? I can see this being a 2-2 series coming back to Chase Center game five. But I do think that the Mavs are going to be worn down, right? Everything we talked about, I think the Mavs are kind of playing over their skis a little bit, and the Warriors aren't the Suns. The Warriors are champions. And I think the Suns are soft, and I think we saw that in game six and seven. I think the Mavs are going to get tired. I don't think they're going to make the same amount of threes. And I think Steph is just going to have a series. I think a little bit kind of like what we saw from Jimmy and Tatum tonight, where the older guy's the better player. Still, 1 point from now, a year or two, maybe three, Luka's going to be better than Steph.
But I think Steph has that type of series where it's like, hey, I'm still the guy, and proves he's the best player. So I think it goes six. I almost went five, but I'll go six.
Five's cocky.
That's 2017, Andy. 2018, Andy. I've matured. I'm 30. It always gets Sam going when I do that. He loves that line.
I'm a Kurt. Man. I'm 30.
Shout you out to Mike Gundy.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So I never really thought the Mavericks would be here. I have been wrong enough this season in the small and in the big picture. I love this team, but I am also sort of a nihilistic fan. But I'll tell you, it's really something having the best player in the series. That's right. Luka Doncic is the best player in the series. So weird things are going to happen. I'm really looking forward to competitive basketball. I think we'll actually see some clutch time where the Suns-Mavs series went to seven games and had zero clutch time minutes. I'm going to sort of hedge and say Mavs in seven because Luka Doncic should terrify you. And if he doesn't, Warriors fans, you don't know what you're watching.
Oh, that's like a WWE promo.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was really good. That was good.
I'm going to split the difference. I'm going Warriors in seven. I don't know if it's going to go six or seven. I do. One thing I feel confident about is this is going to be a competitive series. It's going to go the distance. If someone can figure a way out to cut it off at six games, it's not going to tell us that it wasn't a competitive series. I personally feel like Luka is going to be a problem for this team, but I think this team has enough veteran acumen to figure out how to close games against Luka. And that's really what we're coming down to on this one. Like, Luka has the ability to go one-on-one in a way few players in the NBA do. But I do think the Warriors have enough talent and have enough acumen to figure out how to close games out. That's what it comes down to. And that's where I'm going to leave it at. I'm going to Warriors in seven.
Love it.
Instant classics.
I can't wait. Oh my God. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be so much fun.
Let's do it. Appreciate you, Kirk.
You guys.
Thanks, Andy. Kirk. Thanks,
everyone.
Brother.
Be good.
Thanks, everyone.